It's All Songs Considered. I'm Robin Hilton. And this is the song Do You Wanna Get High? A cut from Weezer's latest record, the self-titled White Album.
Crush up the blue and inhale through your nose. Scrape every cork from the wood in the floor.
On this week's show, Weezer frontman Rivers Cuomo joins us for a guest DJ session to share some of the stories behind the band's new record and to play some of the songs by other artists he's loving now. A couple of things you're going to note in our conversation. One is how obsessively Rivers Cuomo works. He keeps these incredibly detailed spreadsheets with hundreds of song titles and lyric fragments. They're organized by syllable count and where the accents fall on each syllable. Rivers Cuomo also catalogs the intricate details of songs by other bands. He tries to make sense of them, he studies them, trying to find ways to make his own music better. The other thing you'll note is how much Rivers Cuomo cares about Weezer's fans and what they think. A lot of people think that the band has never quite lived up to its 1994 debut release, the so-called Blue Album, and this weighs heavily on him. And while plenty of music critics and fans think Weezer's new White Album is as good as anything the band has done, that hasn't stopped Rivers Cuomo from fretting over every review.
I always feel great about the record, increasingly great as we get towards the release. I just feel on cloud nine, super optimistic and confident, and then it comes out and I'm faced with the reality that it's not perceived as great as it was in my mind. And then I kind of crash for a few weeks and pick myself up again and just start working on the next one. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
But this one is being pretty well received, I think.
Yeah, 74 on Metacritic, which is, is it higher than the last one? No, I think it's about the same, I think.
Or
maybe a hair less. And yeah. But both of those are by far the best receptions we've ever gotten.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I guess it's hard to, you can't really say with something that was 20 years ago that we didn't have Metacritic.
Oh, no, it's pretty easy. I remember.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine texted me last night, and he said, huh, Weezer album is my favorite record this year. That feels weird to say.
It's hard. It's hard to be good, and it's hard to be good on your 10th record, but it was really hard on the first one, too.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk more about how the new record came together and some of the stories behind it. But let's start off with one of the songs that you wanted to play. What do you want to hear first?
I mean, I would go with Victorious, the latest single by Panic at the Disco, which is the band we're touring with all summer long. And in fact, I helped write the song.
I'm going to just play a little bit of the songs. We're not going to hear full things.
Okay, make sure you play the part where it goes like, oh! We gotta turn up the crazy, because that's the part I wrote.
I know you need it. Do you feel it? Drink the water. Drink the wine. Oh, we gotta turn up the crazy. Living like a washed up celebrity. Shooting fireworks like it's the 4th of July. Until we feel alright. Until we feel alright.
It's funny that you say you wrote this or co-wrote this song, because when I was listening to it, I thought this almost sounds like a Weezer song, like if you reworked all the production, but like the melody and words, I think, are all there.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come to work on this with them?
Well, I've known Brendan, the singer, since 2007, I think. We got together to work on some music, and We've just stayed in touch over the years. And then about a year and a half ago, we hired the same manager that they have. And they were making their record with Jake Sinclair, who ended up producing our record. And we just kind of ended up in the same room a lot and listening to music together. And then we ended up doing this tour together in the summer. And it turned out that they had this great song, and they're missing the vocal part in that section of the song. So like I had those lyrics and melody already written over something else, and I didn't know what to do with that. So it was one of those Reese's peanut butter cup chocolate and peanut butter things where we just mashed them together, and it sounded really cool.
Was this the Turn Up the Crazy?
Yeah,
that part. Yeah. So what was it like working with Jake Sinclair? You mentioned him. He worked on the new record. What kind of direction did he steer you in?
He's definitely like super focused on the old school Weezer sound from our 90s records. And he grew up in a Weezer cover band called Wanna Beezer. And he played all my parts. And so he really knows the subtleties of where I come from. And like he'll call me out when I change the way I pronounce a word. From in the 90s, I would have used like a Long Island accent mm-hmm. with a soft R, and somewhere along the line, I picked up a habit of doing a harder R, like I'm from Orange County, mm-hmm. and his ears will immediately pick that up, and he'll steer me back onto the right track.
Was getting back to an earlier sound, was that something you wanted to do with this record?
No, that's never what I want to do. I want to do lots of crazy, weird new stuff, but I recognize, like, you know, we love our fans. We don't want to totally alienate our audience, and it's not like we're making a first record. We have this big relationship, this long-term relationship going, and we want to evolve and grow in a way that keeps everyone on board to the extent that that's possible. So as it turned out, it was really helpful to have somebody who was kind of taking care of that bass, or who was on that pole, so I could pull as hard as I want in the other direction from the other pole, and trust that it was going to end up as a pretty balanced record between the classic sound and then some new sounds.
You really care what fans think about the band.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a room with 15,000 of them every night, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not that's a very real thing. It's like, you can't walk away from that. You can try to, and you can pretend like, well, I don't care what anyone thinks. I'm just going to do my own thing.
Right.
But you know, that's just when you're up there and you're with them, it's like you care about it and you want it to be as great and as positive and happy an experience as possible.
Yeah. Does it make it harder, though, with that pressure? Does it make it harder to write songs that come from an honest place?
You know, when I'm writing, it's like you kind of, You worry about that stuff when you first sit down, but then once you get really focused, all that stuff goes out the window, and you're just trying to be in the moment and come up with something that really blows your mind. And that's what the fans want you to do. So then from there, it's just a matter of making some subtle tweaks and some revisions and playing your demos for fans and for your manager and your producer, and seeing if there's any subtle things you can do to make it even better. And a lot of times they have great ideas.
Let's talk about the new record. Maybe you could walk us through how it came to be. You know, you just finished Everything Will Be All Right in the End. You had the tour.
Yeah, we did some shows for Everything Will Be All Right in the End, where we played the whole album from beginning to end, and they were in small venues, so it was just packed with core fans that really wanted to hear it, and that was an incredibly inspiring experience. So when that ended, we just started right to work again. In I went to make a demo with Jake. He's somebody we met when he was just a kid, 23. He was an engineer for our song, If You're Wondering If I Want You To, I Want You To, from 2009. Mm-hmm. And he was just like this quiet surfer kid in the back of the room who we didn't think much of. But then at the beginning of 2014 or 15, I met him, and he was like all grown up, and he was wearing a suit, and he had short hair, and he said he had his own studio, and so I went over there and we just did a demo for the song California Kids. And all it was my guitar and my voice, but it sounded like it could really be the center point of the next record. And it suggested this theme, a beach album. And it sounded exactly what we wanted to sound like, apart from the fact that it didn't have the band on there. So we figured, man, if it sounds this good or even better with the band on there, this is probably our guy.
When you wake up, cobwebs on your eyelids, stuck in rigor mortis. Whoa. Just get going till you hit the ocean and you turn Californian.
So many of these lyrics come from different places and different sources of inspiration, and there's different levels of meaning. It's really hard to sit, like, say, oh, it's about that person. Or
sure.
I can tell you, I thought of that phrase when I was on the beach in Santa Barbara with my family, and I was looking at my kids, and I come from Connecticut, East Coast, and there was always such a difference in my mind between East Coast people and West Coast people, and it's just weird to me that my kids they're California kids. They're going to be California kids and not East Coast at all. And so I just came up with that. That's when I came up with that phrase, and I put it on a list. And then, of course, when I draw my list of titles, I like to forget about where it came from and just think of it in a new light and see if I can graft some other concept onto it or pull a new concept out of it.
Yeah, sometimes you don't even know what a song is about until you've written it and spent some time with it, and you realize, oh, I guess this is what I was talking about here.
I'm trying to write songs so that I don't even know what they're about, and it's pulled from so many different places that I'm piecing it together to suggest a story that never happened or a person that never existed, and it's a mystery to me, and I love to contemplate it, but I can't say exactly what it is. But then I always got my eyes open, my ears open. If I see a slogan on a shirt, I'll put it in my phone. Or if I overhear a cool phrase in a conversation, I read all the time, underlining words. And then I put them all in these big lists of lines and lyrics. And then, like I said, I like to put them together and move them around and jumble them up until it all clicks, and I just feel like, whoa, there's this interesting world I've created here.
Let's go to something else here, another one of your picks that you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, so I'm in songwriting scientist mode right now, trying to figure out new techniques, new ways to write. So the song Stressed Out by 21 Pilots is obviously one of the biggest songs in the world this year. And on the surface, it seems like, oh, they're, you know, kind of like a rock band, kind of same radio format as Weezer, not too different from Weezer. So what are they doing different? And if you listen to their records, it's clear, like, they actually don't use big guitars. Even in these songs that are big on rock radio, it's all synthesizers and drums, and maybe there's some bass, but where's that, the big guitar? It's quite a mystery to me. So you hear that on Stressed Out. You also hear, like, I can't figure out how they're writing these songs. And I've met them once, and I hope I get a chance to talk to them again, because I'm trying to figure it out. Usually I can listen to songs over and over and kind of figure out how they put them together, but this one's a mystery to me. Each section of the song has a new chord progression, and that's something very rare on the radio. Nowadays, you hear most songs are just one chord progression over and over. Mm-hmm.
wish I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. I wish I had a better voice that sang some better words. I wish I found some chords in an order that is new. I wish I didn't have to rhyme every time I sang. I was told when I get older all my fears would shrink, but now I'm insecure and I care what people think.
My name's Blurry Face and I care what you think. My name's Blurry Face and I care what you think.
Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when the mama sang us to sleep but now we're stressed out. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days when the mama sang us to sleep but now we're stressed out. Smell will take me back to when I was young. How come I'm never able to identify where it's coming from? I'd make a candle out of it if I ever found it. Try to sell it, never sell out of it. I'd probably only sell one. Maybe to my brother, cause we have the same nose, same clothes, homegrown, a stone's throw from a creek we used to roam. But it would remind us of when nothing really mattered. Out of student loans and treehouse homes, we all would take the ladder.
My name's Blurry Face and I care what you think. My name's Blurry Face and I care what you think.
A song that's kind of in part about what you're trying to figure out.
Yeah. Yeah, which irked me a little bit when I heard this, because one of the many shackles that Jake put upon me as a songwriter, as much as I love him, it's not just for Weezer, but in general, he doesn't like songs where the singer is talking about his job as a writer or being in a band. He says that those kind of things are unrelatable. So whenever I had a line like that, he would shoot it down. And here it is, so obviously in the biggest song of the year.
Yeah.
Love you, Jake.
You talk about trying to figure out why this song works or how it works and trying to take it apart. It makes you think you work really hard at your music.
Yeah, I'm pretty crazy. Like, it doesn't feel like work. I mean, I absolutely love doing it. I do it every day, and it's extreme compared to other people, but...
You write every day.
Well, yeah, 5 days a week, and I'm always listening to music and trying to figure out how they make it.
It makes me think of a conversation I've had a number of times with different musicians and friends who are creative people over the years. Just the idea that sometimes great art doesn't come from profound inspiration, but just from a lot of work.
Yeah, although it's probably happened that someone just picked up a guitar one day and wrote an amazing song in 3 minutes, and it's like, whoa, how did that happen?
Screw that guy.
But I'm not just going to wait around for that to happen.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break, and we will be back right after this.
Let's take a moment to share a message from our sponsor, Sotheby's Institute of Art, the Graduate School of Art, and its markets. Auction houses, galleries, and art investments. Learn how it all works at Sotheby's Institute. With fully accredited master's degrees and courses for adults in fields like art business and contemporary art, campuses in New York, Los Angeles, London, and online. Apply now at sotheby'sinstitute.com.
Let's hear another cut from the new Weezer record. How about a little bit of LA Girls? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
ashes will light up our candles. But how is this going to end? The kids are asleep. We're hunting their dreams. And some women swear it's more painful than labor to die with your sins on your head.
Does anybody love anybody? I'm having a hard time turning this down.
Yeah, right. Right at the best part.
I'm sorry, man. You talk about all the little bits and pieces that you grab from different places to form the stories that make up these songs, and there's a line in here about the gyre and the gimbal and the wave. That's Lewis Carroll, isn't it? Alice in Wonderland or the Jabberwocky, I think.
Yeah, Jabberwocky.
You a big fan of Lewis Carroll? Or is that just a line that has always sort of stuck with you?
It's a line that stuck with me, and I'm definitely not a huge fan. I mean, I read it a couple of times in school, and it's always seemed really interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just one of those phrases that stuck with me, and I would use it in my daily life and in weird, inappropriate ways, and so it found its way into a song.
Yeah.
And it really, it's, I don't know, it's one of those things where if you're just writing in a very instinctual way, like all these connections happen that you never even intended. Like he was I don't know if a proven pedophile, but like somebody who had a very strong feelings towards this young girl, and I wasn't thinking of that when I stuck the line in this song about LA girls, and which is, you know, so much about the question of age disparity.
I had read that you had gotten on Tinder just to meet people and get out there and start finding stories.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the root of a lot of what guys do and guys in bands do is it's like a lot of times the initial spark is wanting to meet girls, and sometimes that's why you start a band, or that's why, you know, I've been doing social media type stuff all along. I was posting a lot of music to MySpace and in the early days, and you know, wanting to meet a girl was part of that. And so now it's like, yeah, I want to meet girls, but also like I want to write songs, so I have to meet girls.
Do you feel like you know, you and I are the same age, mid-40s, do you feel like that you can't write this style of music or the kind of music you write and have it be about themes that resonate more with someone in middle age versus a 20-something or a teenager?
I think there's always going to be a lot of personal stuff in there, and so, but the fact is, like, at this stage of my life, like, it's not that interesting, or like they wouldn't be that interested in what's going on in my day to day life. Whereas in my 20s, it's more like, oh yeah, I guess most people in the audience could relate to that. So now, like, of course, I'll still draw my own life or my dreams or pull lines from journals. Sometimes you have to be more vague, or you have to reduce a situation down to a more primal level. And I mean, at the bottom of a lot of a middle-aged person's emotional reactions, a lot of it it's the same stuff that's driving kids. And like, I just started psychoanalysis recently, and so much of it is like you're going back to what happened to you when you were a kid, and it's like all this really deep stuff. I think is relatable for people of all ages. But then some of the details, it's like not as appropriate for a young audience if I'm, you know, talking about driving kids to school or something.
Right.
And I've written those songs, and, you know, they don't get very far. It's like the band hears them. It's like, dude, nobody wants to hear this.
Yeah. You know, I think rock has also always been so indelibly tied to youth in the past, but you know, I'm not sure that that's true as much though anymore. You know, like when the members of Zeppelin all turned 40, everyone thought, my God, they can't possibly still do this music. You know, and now you look at a band like the guys in Weezer or, I don't know, Radiohead or something like that. I don't think people think about it as much anymore.
I just had an interesting first time experience. I don't know if you heard, but I wrote a song for the Monkees.
No.
Yeah, so they have a new record coming out. And so for the first time, the feedback I got from the person who's covering my song is that it sounds too young. We need you to make it sound more appropriate for a 70-year-old man. It's usually the other way around. You know,
yeah.
Rivers sounds a little too old. We got to make it sound right for a 20-year-old girl or whatever.
Are you reworking it or?
It's really cool. It's subtle stuff. It's just a word here or there, and you make it more universal, more age universal, so it can work from their perspective.
Well, another one of the artists you wanted to play today is Gwen Stefani, and she's a musician who's also reached her mid-40s. She's got a new record out, and she continues to find ways to make music that's still relevant and interesting and vital for young people.
It's always hard to make a record, even your first one, but at this stage in your career, it's like, man, to have put out such a great record, it's admirable, and it inspires me because she's the same age as me, and I felt a kinship with her. We toured together in 97 when Weezer was on the Pinkerton tour.
Oh, were they out for, was it Tragic Kingdom?
They were doing Tragic Kingdom, and for some reason they invited us to open for them and their audience of 9-year-old girls, and we're up there singing Tired of Sex. It was really weird.
That is so funny. Wow. So the song you want to play is Make Me Like You?
Yep. We were just doing Good Morning America a few weeks ago, and she was there at the same time taping for a later broadcast, and she sang this song. It's a great song. I think she wrote the whole record with these two people, and I want to meet them at some point because they did a great job. It really sounds like her and her story, and at the same time, it's just a fantastic little pop song.
This is one of those songs that's kind of impossible not to move to when it comes on.
Yeah.
I put a cut on the stereo at home the other day, and my son suddenly got this 1,000-yard stare and just hopped out of his chair and started dancing. It was like he had no control over it, right? It's like, and this is the kind of song that would totally do that, for sure. So yeah, the album, the new Weezer record, is bookended so nicely with that you have the wave sound. It's like it creates this endless loop that I love so much. Can we hear a little bit of Endless Bummer, the track that closes out the record?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Hey, trying to pretend. She told me to follow the rules. Not all 19-year-olds are cool. I'm all alone. For me, I count my steps
because I'm OCD.
Man, the harmonies on this song just kill me.
Yeah, incredible. And Jake gets a lot of credit for that because what we did for a lot of the background vocals.
I'm sorry,
and
the build here.
Oh yeah, sorry.
So good. And then the guitar that comes in. I'm sorry, Jake was responsible for the harmonies.
Well, we record most of our parts, and then we go back, me, Brian, and Scott, and we all go into the room together. We each have our own mic, but we're kind of all bleeding into each other's mics, and then Jake is standing there, and we just roll through the songs, and we all just, you know, we're scatting and brainstorming crazy background vocal ideas. And there's just so many crazy ideas, and then he has to go back and sort it all out, and then we go back and then re-sing it in a more polished way. But I was just thinking of that line about OCD. That that's actually he's OCD. It's like clinically OCD. So
I love that line. So
yeah,
much.
That line's about him. But
that's funny.
But it really it comes in handy when you're having to go through many tracks of crazy people doing crazy background vocal ideas, because he goes through all of it and finds the best bits.
Yeah, I love the idea of a woman you can't keep up with because you're too busy counting your steps as mm-hmm. you guys go along. That's great. Thanks so much for doing this. Is there a song that you want to go out on? Do you have a favorite cut from the record?
I mean, how about our current single, King of the World? This song, is inspired by my wife's phobia. She had this really intense phobia about hearing or seeing anything about bad news, like terrorism or earthquakes, anything like that. And it was really debilitating because she wasn't able to go into certain stores for fear of seeing a National Enquirer headline about the end of the world. And she thought she was strange, so she didn't tell anyone. And that just made it worse. So I wrote the song about it, and she was happy to have it shared with the world because she figured if other people hear that somebody had this problem and they have it, they might be more willing to speak about it. And when you speak about it, it doesn't cause you so much pain.
Thank you so much for doing this, Rivers.
Thank you.
Weezer frontman Rivers Cuomo speaking to us from NPR's studios in Los Angeles about the band's new album, the self-titled White Album. It's out now. I'm Robin Hilton from NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.
You walk by the magazines, sitting on the rack at the CVS. One more sad movie star divorce, 300 died in an airplane wreck. And you think of all the people suffering, and you bury that pain. But you could tell me everything, and we'll ride on that wave. If I was king of the world, you'd be my girl. You wouldn't have to shed one single.
together. No pros at the valley. We'll face tsunamis together. If I want.